You know, it's funny because I was thinking this week in terms of when I was a young dad and just thinking through all the things that Christmas entails when you're a young parent. And I was thinking especially in terms of, I remember this one year we were going to give one of our sons a bike at Christmas, you know, right? The Christmas bike. And it was during the days back in the 90s where, you know, it's kind of off-roady thing, but it had, you know, brakes and all that kind of stuff. So there's something to it. But as a dad, you know, it's part of you buy your son a bike and you assemble the bike. And so I'm going to make this memorable. I'm going to start working on this on Christmas Eve, right? That way, you know, get it done Christmas morning, just kind of be my memory. So they're in bed. Okay, it's time to assemble the bike. Two hours later, I wasn't any further along and realized I made a mistake with the instructions. That guys, you don't understand this. To kind of make the mistake you made that you have to take everything back off to add it, right? Or it wouldn't have had brakes or something significant. So I'm like, oh, now I'm getting heated up. And Susan comes out and checks on me. How's it going? Merry Christmas, you know? I said, man, this is ridiculous. I'm like, all right. She goes, oh, had I known, we would have just had it assembled. I go, and how much would that have cost? I think it was like $20. It's like $20 to assemble this thing, you know? So quickly, I had the joy of the Lord and was just, no, I was out there probably for another hour and a half. We finally got it together, but I came at it huffing and puffing. And, you know, it just reminds me of what this season does. I mean, just to have the kids up here is an event. You got to get them up. You got to get them dressed. They're rehearsing. If you have multiple kids, and then get them there. And here's the deal. This is the third week of Advent, which the topic is joy. Okay? In our areas of responsibility, this can be a very joyless week. Maybe you have things going on in your life in terms of year-end deadlines or projects at work. And so that's a stressor and you got to get it done. Or maybe you're just doing the kid thing. I was talking to Stephen earlier, our middle school pastor. He said, I literally have something planned every night of next week, every night. And so if we're not careful, this thing we call joy can just be this idea, this concept, but not something we actually experience. And so I want to take a little time to talk about that. I've entitled this morning's message, The Responsibility Challenge, and we're going to look at how to enjoy the joy of Christmas. So it's not just a concept, it's not just an idea, it's not just a slogan on a flannel or whatever, but it's actually something that we experience. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, actually something that the kids sang about, the shepherds in the field. So the context of that, and most of you know this, but I'll just lay it out there in case you forgot. The context of this is Joseph and Mary are already in Bethlehem. They've already given birth to Jesus. They've laid him in a manger. And then it shifts to the fields outside of Bethlehem. And in fact, you can go there today. Well, not today because it's pretty hot in the Middle East, but you can go to Shepherd's Field if you ever do go, and that's area, and you'll see it just overlooks Bethlehem. And so that's where our topic is picking up. So Luke 2:8, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Watching the flock because of what? Predators. They want to make sure that nothing comes in and attacks, no coyotes, no whatever, wolves or whatever. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, you can imagine that would be a shocker. You're out there in the middle of the night. You've done this a million times. You're probably starting to doze in and out. Who's ever keeping watch is keeping watch. There was usually more than one shepherd, and they would be out there, and then all of a sudden, this bright light, and it kind of freaks everybody out. It's kind of like a extraterrestrial thing going on. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Clearly they were afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So born this day is in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds are hearing this for the first time, the same news that Joseph heard for the first time, the same news that Mary heard for the first time. In fact, this is the third time the angel has appeared. Why they picked the shepherds? Don't really know. Other than we'll see that they got pretty excited and kind of became evangelists. And maybe that's like, wow, if the shepherds are saying this happened, because this is a salty group, right? These guys are kind of super blue collar, salty of the earth kind of guys and farmer types. And there they are. And so they're getting this message from the angel. Goes on, verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, moms, you'll understand swaddling. All it is when you take your baby and you wrap it, when it's first born, you wrap it and it's really tight. You get that sense that it's in the womb because it gives a sense of security. That's what swaddling clothes is. It's just, but it's probably more than one blanket. It's a few pieces of cloth. They even do it today. So nothing abnormal about that. But lying in a manger, that's abnormal. That's a feeding trough for livestock. Don't typically do that. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, so more than one angel, praising God, celebrating, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This refers to peace with God, spiritual peace, something that Oscar talked about last week when our theme was peace. But we see joy taking place in the heavenly realms with heavenly beings called angels. Now, why? Well, it says good news of great joy. So based on the news, it should be happy. It should create joy. And what was the news? A Savior has been born. What's a Savior? Well, this is what we're talking about. This is the whole meaning of Christmas, is the birth of a Savior. To what? Save us from our sin. Jesus came to die, a rescue mission. You and I are sinful people. We're separated from God. There's no peace, spiritual peace with God. And then the Prince of Peace, the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, came to die for our sin. So you can't stop at Bethlehem. You got to go all the way to Easter. But this is the gospel. And this is what brings joy. And so when we're talking about how to enjoy the joy of Christmas, I put it, number one, remember, it's all about the gospel. Don't forget this. It can be about so many things. It can be about a kid's choir. It can be about child dedications. It can be about shopping. It can be about parties. It can be about year-end deadlines. It can be about decorations. It can be about certain types of food. It can be about in-laws and gathering. It can be about so many things that are supposed to, quote, complement, but not take precedent. But if we keep the precedent, the gospel, then all of a sudden those things don't matter as much and they can't rob us as much of our joy. The whole purpose of Christmas is to save us from our sin. That should bring us joy because we're saved. The whole purpose of Christmas is Jesus come to die for our sin so that we don't have to. We keep that front and center. I'm reminded even later on in Jesus's ministry in Luke 15, when he was discussing with the disciples about people coming to him and following him, the text says in Luke 15, 10, just so I tell you, this is Jesus, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So when somebody puts their faith and trust in Christ, there's a celebration in heaven. And there definitely was a celebration at the birth of Christ. So, how do you do that? How do you remember it's all about the gospel? Well, it starts with keeping yourself and your perspective in check. So, like for me, I'll give you an example. Oh, I guess I gotta confess this. Yeah. Okay, so I don't, this violates all the rules in our home. In fact, both my boys, when they found out I did this, they said, "What?" I bought a fake tree. And it's not a big deal, and I know many of you probably have fake trees, and you've had fake trees for a long time, and you're okay with the fakeness. But if for our home, we had to go out, we had to find the tree, we had to look at the tree, we had to bring the tree home, we had to hammer the thing in. I had that, you know, that thing that hammers in the bottom. I've had that same thing for 35 years. It's the same thing. Drill the hole, do the thing, is the hole crooked? Put a book, you know, it was all the deal. But this year, I'm like, I'm alone. It'll be my like fifth year alone. Before it was the boys or my daughter. We would go out and Christine, no, let's go to another lot. No, okay, that's not there. Now it's just me. And I'm pulling up at a Costco truck, you know, and they're saying, "You want one? Yeah, okay, here's your whatever. And can I look at it? No, you can't look at it. You know, take it back home." And I'm doing it, I'm hammering, I'm borrowing from the neighbor, and drill bit doesn't fit, and Susan's nowhere to be seen. I'm in my own little world. And I'm like, you know what, this year, and we were gone for a few days, and you know how you have to water a real tree? If you don't have a real tree, you gotta water it. When you get it, you add water, it sucks it up, you keep adding water, at least the first week. Well, we're gone. And so I didn't want it to become, you know, a flame thrower, you know, and dry up earlier. So I had all these rationale for buying a tree. Anyway, that's all my disclaimer. So if my boys watch this message, they won't hate on me. Anyway, so I flip on this tree, and it comes in three sections pretty quick. Looks good. I flip on the lights. I mean, the trees I had, you know, you took the string around and tried to do it. And, I mean, this light is on every inch of this thing. It is a light factory. It's just like, boom. I was like, whoa, you don't even need ornaments. I mean, you can't see them. And you can go from light to colored to flashing to blending, dark light. I thought, okay, this is too many lights. So I knocked it. It's got a dimmer even. Go low as possible. It's still like. And I was struggling. I was like, I may be taking this tree back because this is a lot of lights. Until I started thinking about the gospel. Gospel's the light of the world. We're to shine bright in the world. Tree's okay. Lights are good. Every time I see it and it bothers me, now I'll just say, you know, it reminds me of the gospel and the light of the world. I'm good. So that would be an example. What is it for you? Maybe you're triggered by something not coming together, something not happening. You're disappointed because you were going to get together with somebody and now they're not going to come over or do something. Okay. Do you think there was any disappointment with Mary and Joseph of having to leave their family and go have a baby in Bethlehem? Sure. Think there's any disappointment with Joseph finding out his wife's pregnant and then he finds out the virgin, but yeah. You think they're going to be disappointed when coming up they're going to have to go to Egypt? Yeah. Still about the gospel. It's still about a Savior was born. Maybe there's triggers for you this time of year. Loss of a loved one. First time this year where that loved one won't be there. Well, the gospel is all about eternity. The gospel is all about after your heartbeat, not now. You get what I'm saying? And so then it starts to lessen those stressors. It starts to lessen those things that cause us to get frustrated or hurt or whatever because we pull back to the very meaning of it. Amongst all the stuff, a Savior has been born. And the more me and you remind ourselves, you know what? Whatever this Christmas means as far as celebration, it should mean this: I'm saved. And I'm grateful for it. So that's what makes it a Merry Christmas. The rest, compliment, great, love it, just don't make it precedent. But back to our story. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, they went fast, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Gives you an idea how big Bethlehem was. Little tiny village, probably weren't a few more than a few barns, so they found him right away. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they were telling everybody, super excited. Verse 19 says, Mary treasured up all these things. So she was encouraged, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to work back in the fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. So now we get up beyond a party or celebration in heaven. Now people are actually celebrating. Mary was encouraged when she saw the shepherds and heard about the angels showing up. And clearly, the shepherds, they went from fear to joy. But what was the game changer? It wasn't the good news. They weren't super happy when there was this good news of great joy. They were still freaked out. The angels told them, don't be afraid. The change was they went from the message to the person. It was no longer the gospel. It was the person of Jesus. They actually saw him. They encountered him. And this is, and as a result, whatever they were feeling, it was joy at that time. Even though they had to go back to the field, even though it was going to be hard work, even though none of that changed, now all of a sudden they were great joy. Why? Because they had been exposed to the person of Christ. So secondly, when we talk about how to enjoy the joy of Christmas, keep your eyes on Jesus. Yes, the gospel, the good news of mankind, but don't forget Christmas is about a person, the person of Jesus. When you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, we often say your personal Lord and Savior. It's not a concept that you're committing your heart to. It's not an ideal you're committing your heart to. It's not a tradition you're committing your heart to. It's the living person of Christ. And if our only focus is on our lists to do, our accomplishments to get done, our struggles to navigate through, to get through to the new year, there'll never be joy. But if our focus is on Jesus, he's the reason for the season, as we've said multiple times. And we see that kind of played out in different areas. I mean, Mary, if you remember, Mary went and visited her cousin, Elizabeth, and in Luke chapter 1, where Mary starts to, basically they call it Mary's song, starts to sing or worship, Mary said, Luke 1:46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices, there it is, in God my Savior. It's personal, not in news of great joy, in the personal peace of God. In fact, the Magi, they were looking for the person of Jesus. They didn't know the gospel. They didn't know good news of great joy. They just knew that they got a dream from God going way back that a Savior would be born, and so they're looking for him. And remember when they encountered Herod and all that? And then after that, they saw the star. What did the star represent? Well, Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Why? Because it would take them to the person of Jesus. So that's, I would say, the probably going to be the greatest source of joy. Because the gospel is the good news of the person of Jesus. And he wants to be personal with you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to encounter him in a personal way. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not the joy of an idea. So this is where we manage our expectations, really. If your expectation this Christmas is to say, you know, it's a Merry Christmas if I draw closer to the Lord. The rest, whatever, great, nothing wrong with it. But if my success is going to be based on me drawing closer to, say, an estranged loved one, and it doesn't work, then I didn't have a blessed Christmas. If my standard of expectation is that this gathering happens and so many come and it didn't work out or something was forgotten or it didn't get cooked right, then I'm toast. But if it's like, you know, whatever happens, it really doesn't matter that much. What matters is that I draw closer to the Lord. That's a source of joy because he wants to draw close to you. I know some of you, you want an update on my home and the Christmas lights this year because I've told you over decades of all the struggles I've had with lights. And I can tell you, I've grown. They don't matter as much to me, which is super cool. Maybe it's my old age, but man, they mattered back in the day. If you were here 20 years ago, you know I was obsessing over them. I have lights on the front of my house. I have lights on the back of my house. I have lights in my house. I'm the light guy. I have lights. I have sickles. Now, don't get me wrong. If you come to my house, you're not going to go, wow, it's amazing. It's not that amazing, but just know that I'm fully into it. And I had sickles, and then I had Charlie Brown lights. You know those? Those are illegal now. You can't buy those. I got to order them out of state. And I do. Because when they got to be replaced, because these Charlie Brown lights actually came from my childhood hanging up on my house. And most of them, the color has peeled off. Did you know the color could peel off? It will after 40 years. So unintentionally, they're all white. Well, okay, here we go. Put up the sickles first, then I get it and test them all. Man, I do all that. I test them, how does it look? Okay, good. Finally get it up. Sure enough, there's a 4-foot section of sickles that are out. You know what I did? I just went and grabbed one end. I bunched them together. I put them under the thing. I stapled them up there and just kept going. You know what? Last night, I get home from staff Christmas party. Susan goes, what's that? And she points over to right above our dining table. There's a little area where I put some lights. My lights were half out. The white lights were half out. How does that happen? They've been sitting there the whole time. It's not like I'm messing with them or whatever. You know what I did? Grabbed them and threw them in the trash. Who cares? It's all about Jesus, baby. You're not. Oh. So I don't know what that means for you, but usually it has to do with your expectations. And if your celebration is to celebrate you drawing closer to the Lord, and what does that look like to focus on Jesus? Well, there's a couple things. I've said it before. I don't say it as a joke. I say it as a reality. On the back of your worksheet, there are daily devotions. Those can bring you closer to the Lord. If you just every day you pull out and say, you know what? I'm going to protect joy this time of year. And I want to draw closer to the Lord. Or you also got an Advent reading schedule, and this week should be joy as you read those scriptures. So reading scripture will do it. Another way will be to pray. Pray every day. When you start to stress, pray. When you start to feel joyless, pray. And I would encourage worship. It's a time of year when the songs are rich with focus on the Lord. They're fun to sing. They don't just get you in the spirit, but they can actually get you closer to the Lord when you make those places of devotion. When you really think about it, even though the cute kids are cute and out of tune and that's all part of the thing, when you look at the words that they're singing, they can minister to you. So worship, prayer, reading God's word. In a moment, I'm going to be lighting that pink candle, which highlights this week's Advent theme, which is joy. And we're going to sing Joy to the World. You've sang that a million times. But you can sing it in a way that proclaims what Jesus has done for you. And it can actually be a prayer. It was written by Isaac Watts. It's interesting. You've probably read the story. It goes back to the 1700s. And during that time, worship was just kind of Gregorian chants and that kind of thing. And Isaac's dad says, hey, Isaac, you need to write a song that knocks the church out of its stupor because the worship is very kind of drone and depressing. And so he did. He wrote Joy to the World. It wasn't a Christmas song at all. We've pulled it in as Christmas, but I think it's appropriate because when the stress can hit and the angst can hit, sometimes a good reminder and a worship song can keep us centered. So I encourage you that as I light that candle, that it's more than just me lighting a candle or more than you mouthing the words of joy to the world, but you actually maybe make some connection with God. Maybe you're struggling right now in a number of ways. Maybe you bring that struggle. Lord, I'm struggling right now. I'm going to miss my mom. I'm going to miss my dad. I'm going to miss my wife. I'm going to miss my husband this year. Please replace that loss with joy. I need it, supernatural joy. Or maybe it's something that you're dreading coming up. And Lord, I'm worrying. I'm not sleeping at night. Lord, help me. Or maybe you're just a busy parent and just, and you say, Lord, slow me down. Help me to remember I'm saved and draw me closer to you. Jesus is the source of joy that can surpass any circumstance, but it's up to us to protect it and step into it. So I encourage you to do so. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, as we just kind of settle in, whether we're online or in person, Lord, Christmas can have so many amazing things associated with it, wonderful traditions that have a romance to it, that have an excitement. I know me personally, I love Christmas time, but also recognize the risk of Christmas, that we can celebrate everything but you. We celebrate family, we celebrate food, we celebrate music, we celebrate gifts and miss you, and that's where the joy is. And so, Lord, I pray for protection. It starts with how we think, what we focus on, and to remember, Lord, that if there wasn't a Christmas, we wouldn't be saved. Wow, it's a good reminder of how important Christmas really is. And Lord, beyond that, to know that you want us to draw close to you, and ultimately we'll be in your presence one day, but until then, it's abiding in you and walking with you. Help us to do that. Help us not to be caught in the tyranny of the urgent, where the spiritual stuff gets put to the side and we just deal with the practical stuff, but to make you the priority, whether it's Bible, prayer, or worship. So anyway, Lord, thank you for the joy you give us. Thank you for eternity. Thank you for your love and mercy that we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.